Maybe you like cooking. Maybe you don't. Either way, the new Blue Apron is for you. Because along with our classic meal kits, we're offering new pre-made and one-pan meals to help you get dinner on the table fast. And now there's no subscription needed, so you can just order and enjoy. Do delicious food your way. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This is the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show with Captain Mickey Eastman.
Mickey broke the record at Camp Benny's on oysters, about however many you can eat.
Captain Mickey has been guiding the Texas Gulf Coast waters for over 40 years, and along with winning numerous national and local tournaments, Captain Mickey was recently inducted into the Saltwater Legends Hall of Fame.
The reason I broke the record is I don't think I had enough money in my pocket to pay for all of them. Because if you break the record, everybody with you eats free.
Now here's your host, Captain Mickey.
And welcome to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show on this Sunday morning. I'm Captain Mickey Eastman, producing the Outdoor Show. This morning is Jace and our sponsors today. We have Allied Industrial Sales Incorporated, the Belleville Meat Market, the Houston Fishing Show, Allied Industrial Sales, Boyd's One Stop. And those are our sponsors for today. A little late getting on this morning. We had a little connection problem, but hey, all the wires are crossed and everything's good now. We're ready to go. How about that? All right, looking at our weather for today. In Galveston right now, it's 67 down on the island. Shows fog. Not much up this way where I'm at, but they're calling for morning fog, then mostly cloudy this afternoon with a high of 71. East-southeast winds 10 to 20. And then for tonight, a little chance of rain perking up here. Looks like mostly cloudy with some showers after midnight, with areas of patchy fog developing, also with a low of 59, east-northeast winds 5 to 10, 40% chance of rain. And then for tomorrow, mostly cloudy skies, little morning fog. And the forecast again with a high of 64, east-northeast winds 10 to 20 miles per hour. And rain chances pick up later in the week. And looking at tides for today, these are Galveston Channel tide predictions. We have two of them. We have a low coming up at 7:53 a.m. It's a negative 0.9. And then we have a high at 4:53 p.m., a 1.1. And then 7:03 a.m. sunrise, 6:04 p.m. sunset. Moon phase, 84%. Right now, looking at winds around the area, looks like it's relatively down. It's not too bad this morning. Looks like it's about southeast at 4 down by the pass. North Jetty showing a south at 6. Eagle Point, south at 11. Morgan's Point, southeast at 7. So, no problem. Looks good to me. All right, well, let's get to the phones now, and let's go over to the Tri-Bay area and check in with the old hammer, Captain Glenn Hammond, this morning, see what he's up to. Good morning, Glenn. What's happening?
Hey, good morning, Captain Mickey. Not too much, buddy. The wind is kind of light this morning here.
Yeah. We're showing 4 miles an hour your way.
Yep. Not getting too much at all. Very nice.
You looked out the window. You got any fog down that way at the pass?
No, just a barely little bit. Nothing
like
it has.
Yeah, it's just real light looking. That's the way it was here this morning, too. So
right,
we're good.
Right. Real moisty. Humidity was up, you know. But humidity's been 87%. So,
yeah.
Good Lord. So, due to yesterday, yesterday the tides were so low I canceled. I had a trip yesterday morning. It was a buddy, but still it was a trip, and I just called him and said, man, sleep in, there's no water in the bay. We couldn't have got out anyway. Oh, I could have went Dang. To another boat ramp or I could have got went to another boat ramp if we really wanted to fish that bad, but we wasn't that mad at them. So no, it was just gone, zero tides. The fog disappeared and so did the tides, man. I mean, it's
right.
Unbelievable how shallow it was. But the only thing I got going is my next door neighbors went out yesterday. They went Friday and Saturday. 2 days they had a combination of some redfish and some trout. Nothing to write home about, but they did have some keepers, and that's about the only stringer that I've seen lately. And in 2 days, they had two limits of trout and a limit of reds, pretty decent fish. But anyway, that's the only fishing reports that I've got this week anyway. But they were using a combination of live bait and artificial. So they did pretty good. Did pretty good on bait one day and artificial the next. So I think the temperature, he said, somewhere around 65, 66 degrees. So it's really came up, you know, in the last week or so.
Oh, yeah.
But anyway, Hurricane Beryl, when it ripped through here over the summer, I have this fire pit, and it's got a wooden deck around it, about 20 by 20, I guess it is, something like that, 15 by 15 or 20 by 20, a wooden deck built all the way around it. Well, man, it tried to float that thing away. Luckily, my corner posts were all set in concrete. And it twisted that thing as good as it could and unleveled it and piled sand under it, but it didn't go anywhere. The way I had it concreted in those corner posts, it saved that whole deck. But I had to get out there yesterday and dig some holes and pry and to get all the 2x12s up out of the sand and level everything up yesterday. So I'm trying to get it. Looks like by the time I get the fire pit ready, it's going to be summertime.
Yeah. A little late for a fire pit. Getting there.
Yeah, it is. It's getting there. It was a warm week, wasn't it? Compared to what we had the last few or this last past month. Oh, January was cold. But anyway, we worked on that thing yesterday and talked to a couple of bait camps, and they actually were holding some live shrimp. If anybody want to come down here. If you want to get bait, you just need to be here before 9 o'clock. And I mean, they sell out quick. The first couple hours, they sell out. But our bays just proceed with caution down here. Our bays are super, super low right now. And it doesn't look like any improvement in the near future. I mean, they're two and a half feet low on a high tide. So, I mean, it's just, we don't have our water. It's been taken away from us, and we're just waiting for it to come back in. Other than that, picking up a few here and there. Like I said, I was going to go yesterday, but just, too much of a hassle. So there was plenty of projects around the house. You got something planned on, you going to cook you some ribs or something for the football game?
Nah, I'm just going to chill. It's just another day, man.
I know. But the commercials
are fired up if the Texans were playing in the Super Bowl. But you know, it's
No, and that three-peat don't really tickle me either. I'm saying go underdogs. Heck with the three-peat. Heck with the stripes. They're all against.
Well, all the polls are showing that more people are pulling for the Eagles than the Chiefs. So,
but I think we always do. But I don't know what it is with those guys. But anyway, no plans today. Go over to my neighbor's house. I got some baby backs and marinated them last night. Well, I dry rubbed them and got them soaking in the icebox and. And gonna do a rack of ribs and see what goes on today, man. And that's about it. I'm kind of running short on reports over here this morning. But
well,
it is clear though. I mean, compared to the last week, we have had some foggy mornings, buddy, and I mean really miserable. But it's picked up this morning, so it's not bad. If you're coming down, like I said, we got an 8-mile-an-hour south wind right now coming due south.
Yeah.
Just about due south.
Yeah, my screen showing southeast at 4, but that's on the Galveston side of the pass. You're on the Freeport side, so.
Yes, sir. Well, it's
either way, it's not much wind at all. It's doable.
No, when it comes from the south, I can't even feel it here.
Right.
But anyway, Captain Mickey,
that's all right, about Amber. All I got. Well, have a good Super Bowl Sunday, And we'll talk to you next week. Go catch some fish this week. Well, we got a front coming, so you have to time it right.
Yeah, I got a trip on Friday. I just don't know how it's going to hold up. But anyway, I appreciate you, Captain Mickey. Y'all have a great fun Sunday. 713-208-0683. Always a pleasure, buddy. Thank you.
All right, man. See you.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right, it's time for a break. You're listening to The Outdoor Show. We'll be right back.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. It's 418 here in the Bayou City. Let's run over to Freeport now and let's strike up a conversation with our good friend, Captain Jeff Naylor. I just call him Nalem Naylor. Hey, Jeff, what's up, buddy?
What's going on, Captain Mickey? How you doing this morning?
You did get a marlin the other morning after I hung up with you.
I saw that post.
I said, I can't believe it. He popped one.
Yep, sure did. We ended up.
It wasn't a state record, but it was a blue marlin, buddy.
Hey, baby, that 500 points. It don't matter if it's 1,000 pounds
right.
Or it's 50 pounds. It doesn't matter.
It bit
the
hook.
That's it. He was a good one. It was the.
What'd you catch it on? One of them live baits.
You know what? We ended up that one there. We ended up catching on a ballyhoo rig with the little chugger head.
Really.
Yeah. We struggled catching some blackfin for bait the other morning.
Right.
It was I don't know, for whatever reason they kind of scattered around, towards the morning time. So
you were trying to fill your tubes at that time.
Yeah.
Yeah,
we did. And we had six tubes and we probably put five baits at least. Had five of them filled, so it was good. We actually had a stud on. We had a big fish on.
Oh, boy.
A real big one. And from what we can tell, we theorize it was a big blue marlin probably that we lost. But anyways, we had, of those five baits, we were struggling making baits. So the ones that we caught, ideally we had some smaller ones for baiting marlin, but we didn't really have a choice, so we had a couple of big ones in there, and she ate the big bait. It was probably about a 10 pound, 8 to 10 pound
blackfin. Yeah,
blackfin. Yeah, so it's pretty solid fish, and she dove. We let her go for. Man, it was close to a 40-second count. She took off, she stopped, she kind of made another little short run, she stopped again, and then we went ahead and set the, put the drag down and set the hook. We thought we had her. We fought her for a while and got her. She stayed down the whole time, but either she spit it or we didn't have it in her. She didn't have it all the way in her mouth. She was just holding it. She didn't try to, get it in her belly. So that was the one that got away. But yeah, man, it was a good trip overall, though. I mean, at the end of the day, we ended up with some meat to come home with, some yellowfin and of course that blue. So and then all the technology, I made that post. And put it on Facebook because I just think that's the coolest thing in the world that you can video stuff and in real time, 150 miles offshore, and post it on, the greatest group on Facebook, the Morning Sickos page.
Yeah.
So I thought that was cool. I had to do it. And so that's how we ended up. It wasn't a bad trip.
Well, I saw that. I cracked up laughing. I said, man, he got one.
Yeah, buddy. We're already planning our next trip. We're trying to figure out, you know, weather windows, man. It's just like this whole week has been kind of dicey. I mean, you know, we need a good little couple days worth of good weather, and it just doesn't seem like it's going to quite get there anytime in the future as far as future forecast goes. So maybe a little day run here and there if you had a heart of gold, you know. There was a couple more fish put on the Wahoo board this week, which doesn't surprise me. Tell you what, if you know whoever went out there got one, you know, during the week last week, they worked, they had to work for it. There's no question. It was a little bouncy,
yeah,
to say the least. So, but there was a couple more put on the board, so there is a few people getting out. Just you know, you got to have that. I mean, you got to be built tough, you know. There's no question about that. In reality, you know, when you called me the other day, it was supposed to be flat. It was supposed to be real nice out.
Yeah, it was.
In those pictures, it just doesn't really do it justice. It was not flat, I'll tell you that. It was right. That wind was howling about 15, you know, in the morning time, and it was, I mean, it wasn't terrible, but it was, you know, it was rocking. But, yeah, man, I mean, you know, it's so weird. I'm staring at the green lights here behind the house and just, you know, there's a little bit of bait, not much. It just seems like an eerily dead morning. There's just not much popping this morning.
Unreal. Yeah. As warm as the water got, you think it would be, you know?
Boy, I tell you. I mean, this, you know, the old river really hadn't turned on this winter like I've seen it in the past. It's strange. We had several people going down fishing last week here, and nothing, man. It was blanks. So I don't know where they at. Where all the specks and reds or any of the stuff here in the old river. I hate to say 288 North because I don't really see that, but maybe. I don't know.
Well, all the flats and other structures seem to be holding all the trout and redfish right now. You know, Charlie, you know, there's not many reports out of Matagorda and the Colorado down there like there should be this time of year.
Really?
That freeze changed things up. I think these fish got pretty chilled and went, they're going to the warmest water they can find right now.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's weird. You know, just last week, or excuse me, all last week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, you know, I was getting up early, and I'd come out here, these lights, and they'd be full of bait. I mean, right now, those things would be solid stacked with just, I mean, all kinds of stuff. Right now, it's just eerily dead. It's just dead. Very, very strange.
Yeah, you'd think there'd be something popping under those lights.
Oh, yeah.
This time of morning.
Yeah, definitely. Absolutely. Well, yeah, I mean, like I said, we're just kind of hanging in there. Kate was supposed to come and do the show with me this morning. He ended up got busy with the son, something or another.
Casey's got a lot of irons in the fire.
Well, he just got back. I tell you, you know, he went to Miami and hung out with the guys from down south. And, you know, he's supposed to come back and give me a little report about what the forecast is for hunting down south is. And he hadn't really come and shared anything with me yet. So
I'll tell you, it's hot down in South Texas. Blaine sent me a screenshot of his dashboard thermometer in his truck yesterday, and it was 100 degrees.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, it gets so hot down there in that. He's like in a bowl down there, you know, in that area.
No,
just this side of Laredo. Yeah, it was hot.
Wow. Dang it, man. What did that do to the animals down there, man? Of course, this is, you know,
those deer and all those animals down there, they're accustomed to it. A lot of times when it gets too cold down there, they don't like it. They'd rather it be hot. But,
yeah.
They're tough. Tough critters. They're running quail hunts like crazy. They are just killing the quail. It's just banner. Best year he's ever had in 42 years down there, quail and deer. doves too. Just, it's nuts.
Fantastic. Made a little money this year, huh?
Sounds like it. I know who to call when I need a loan. I get a little slim on cash. I know who to see.
Call That's right.
Hey, Blaine, float me for a few weeks here, bud.
All right. Heck yeah. No doubt. There's it was good to hear somebody staying in business, you know. That's about all you can hope for is one more year, man. We'll make it next year. All right.
You got any big plans for Super Sunday?
Man, we're going to go hang out with a good friend of ours. Probably stay till about halftime and come home. We don't, you know, this fog is just terrible. I mean, it's, we drove home last night from Friendswood, and boy, it was, I mean.
It got bad.
Yeah, it got bad, man. You know, and I'm just not into, you know.
Well, what's the
that.
Deal with Galveston, man? I saw where people had moved, in an hour and a half, only moved 4 miles in the traffic on 45 coming, you know, going north out of Galveston. Man, what a, all the construction stuff. What a nightmare.
You know, I mean, that causeway, man, it's been tough the last couple of years. I remember Sharky telling me last year, you know, we were supposed to go down there and go to Bayside or something like that. And he told me, man, you can't come after 2 o'clock or 3 o'clock. And don't quote me on this, but he said they've been closing the bridge down. You can't get across the bridge. And I'm thinking, man, that sucker's like 6 lanes wide. Why not? What do you mean, can't get across?
Yeah, but, you might run across the pass, San Luis Pass, and go to Galveston that way from your end.
Right. Probably be faster, you know.
I promise you.
It's about, if you take the Intercoastal from Freeport and Surfside to Galveston, his place is probably an hour and a half
by boat.
Yeah, by boat. Maybe a little shorter. I mean, depends on what how you, if you're up stepping pretty good. But I mean, it's a hike. You know,
right?
It seemingly is a little bit faster, but it is a little bit of a hike. But I mean, getting stuck on that causeway, man, I'd rather be poked in the eyeball with a pin sometimes to do that. I mean, it's just, it's too much, you know. Those people are crazy.
Sharks taking an eye, buddy. All right. Well, let me knock this break out. I'll come right back at you. Hang on, man.
All right.
All right. Well, folks, if you need pipe, valves, fittings, instrumentation, fasteners, or gaskets, and you need them fast, look no further than Allied Industrial Sales Incorporated. They're your one-stop shop for all of your petrochemical supply needs. With a full fleet of delivery trucks and same-day delivery, there's no need to wait weeks for other distributors. Let Allied deliver today. And if you're looking for that hard-to-find item and can't wait on long deliveries, their sales team has over 100 years of combined experience, and they're here to support you from start to finish. Whether it's a 24/7 maintenance project or ground-up construction, Allied has you covered. Remember, the first three letters of Allied are all, and that's exactly what they do. Call Allied Industrial Sales Incorporated. Let them handle it all for you at 281-332-6224 or sales at alliedinc.com. Spell out Inc. That's 281-332-6224. Back to the Outdoor Show. It is 4:35 here in the Bayou City. All right, Captain Naylor, we're back, man.
Back in action.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. So, you know, and I was talking about the Casey and down south folks, but actually what I was referring to is the Argentina guy. So the Argentina guy, right. He owns an outfitter down there and knows several of the Argentina main players down there, and they were in Miami 2 weeks ago. Him and Elliot flew down there to discuss, you know, what they're going to do for the coming years and all that kind of good stuff. Apparently, that's where everybody, you know, the cool kids hang out in Miami, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. But anyways, he's supposed to come back and give me some information on that. It still hasn't. So I don't know if something's going to change down south or what, but, or keeping it under wraps, I'm not quite sure. But, I'm dying to find out, for years he's been going down there duck hunting. And, of course, everybody knows about dove hunting. And they do red stag down there as well and several other things. But I think he kind of expanded his – he is in junction in business with like three or four of them down there. Basically, he kind of outfits for them, and I think he added a couple of more to his outfitter resume, I guess you could say, down there. And so I'm interested to see what else he's caught on down there. I don't know if he's into the red stag, which I don't think he was previously. I know they do it, but not with his group, but maybe he did now or something. I don't know. But so all that being said, Casey said he's going to be back next week. I texted him earlier and he said he'll be here next week for sure. So, I've heard that before, but we'll see. I don't know.
Well, it's all good. We've always got something to talk about. I mean,
that's right.
Have you ever fished on the offshore boats that use that forward facing sonar?
I've been on boats, yes, that have it. No, I have not actually physically, got to look at it, see it, work it, any of that. Yeah, that Omni Inferno systems. That stuff's been out for years and years. I mean, Elliot told me they had that back on the boats in like the late 90s,
Yeah.
So.
The live scope stuff?
What? Oh, no, not the live scope. I'm sorry.
That's what I actually meant,
Gotcha.
Where you see, where you're trolling baits and you can actually see in front of the boat and see a marlin swimming up in front of you.
Oh, no, I haven't been able to. No, there's that's not that Omni sonar stuff you're talking about that has the transducer that comes down from the tube and looks forward and all that.
Yeah, probably so. I mean, it's probably a little different on, big offshore boats. I've heard them talk about it before, but I don't know that much about it on the offshore. I know they're using it, really big time here, inshore, especially in the freshwater market.
Sure. Yeah. No, I haven't done that. We did on one of my first boats on that 27 Contender, we had that side scan, the Garmin side scan on it,
mm-hmm.
and which was the little transducer that sticks out the back, posed like a through hole or something like
right.
that. And it would struggle pinging probably 200 feet down. I don't know if somebody was telling me that it was having a hard time seeing through salt water, but I couldn't make head or tail of that.
Oh, because of the density?
The density, potentially.
And all that, yeah.
Yeah, maybe something to that effect. I don't know, but and I was never really good at it. I could see the value in it, but it was just a lot to learn all at one time. Are you pretty familiar with that side scan stuff?
I've used it a little bit on other people's boats, and it's kind of cool, because it's shallower in the bays. It's a lot more, it works better. Like you were saying, it's hard to get it to ping, 200 feet and all that. But, you could idle down a ledge, where fish hang, maybe on a rock ledge or, even the jetties or rock embankments in the bay, and you could actually, it would mark fish between you and the rocks there. You could see how far or how close to the rocks they were and what depth they were. So you could kind of...
Sure.
Put your trolling motor down and then adjust to that, work your lures in the strike zone, so to speak,
Right. Yeah, no, and exactly. It's at the very beginning, I had a very tough time reading it. You know, it's got that line that goes down the middle, and recognizing what is right next to you to the left, and what the depth is. And stuff, it was kind of tough, but the guy that I had originally bought the boat from, he used that side scan quite a bit. In a little closer waters, 150 foot and shallower, and he swore by it. He swore that was one of the best things he ever had, and he said to the point that he would take trips throughout the weekend, and just go out to a couple of rock formations that he knew of, and he would just start driving around in circles, and he had plotted out all these little mini rocks and everything around some of these bigger rock formations that everybody mm-hmm. knows about, kind of thing. And but I can never get it to dial in real good, or be that accurate with it, I guess is probably what I should say. Because I could run over something, I could see it, I could, on that touch screen, you can touch it, to the left or right or wherever on that screen, and it'll make a waypoint, and that could be, 30 foot to your port, or 50 foot to your starboard, or whatever, you know, and with that side scan thing, I just never was good at it. I should circle back. I told myself years ago, I'd circle back and start messing with that stuff again and see if it, maybe the software changed or work out some of the kinks or something, but, I hadn't been back.
Some freshwater guys that are gurus with that stuff, man.
Oh man,
targeting these bass and crappie with it—it's a—it's a game changer for the fishermen and the fish too. The fish, man, they don't know what hit them.
Yeah, I hear you. I hear the crappie guys tell me all the time. Standing over, a bush or something like that, and being able to see the crappie actually hit your lure.
Yeah, you pull up to a brush pile with that forward facing, at live scope, and you can see the brush pile. The way they willows are the best to drop down and weight them, and then man, you can just see the depth of crappie are, and they're pinging like crazy. You can see them wiggling. And you can see your jig flip in there. It's man, it's TV fishing, buddy.
Must be nice. You say that the Marlin guys use this quite a bit. And
that's what I'd heard from, I'm talking to James and some other folks, that they use it.
Yeah, I mean, I trust James, that's for sure. And I, honestly speaking, though, Mickey, and I love fishing for marlin. I'm still new at it, in terms of just running out and figuring my own little, game plan out. So I am not I don't follow the leader in anything I do. I go out there and find, my own ways to do things. And so sometimes things that I say on this radio show may not be the way it's supposed to be, but, it's the way I do it. So,
well, and that's, if anybody's got any fishing savvy to them at all, I mean, it's better to do things your way that you're comfortable with. And, man, I see a lot of guys, they worry too much about how somebody else is doing it or, what somebody else is catching, and it just takes away from what they're trying to focus themselves on doing. Just,
sure,
focus on your own. Everybody has their own instincts and patterns and techniques, and everybody's different.
Sure,
individuals,
sure.
Do your own thing.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And suck at it, you may want to try something else.
Sure, absolutely. And really, it's not necessarily the fact that I got to the way I'm fishing, but it's really the progression of how I did. Because then I learned a lot of how I don't want to fish, or something that didn't work, and I need to know why I don't need to do a bunch of things, just as much as I need to know what to do, and it's so different. And I've actually found that, throughout the years, you stumble across a very interesting way to fish, maybe not, a little bit against the grain. I'd give you, for example, for the longest time, for a while, when I was trying to do some charters,
for blue marlin fishing, I would use live baits. Now, live baits, you know, work great for marlin fishing because you only have two rods out, generally speaking, instead of four, five, six, whatever it is for your spread of lures. Well, you know, when you got that many people and I don't have tuna tubes at the ready all the time, mm-hmm. you know, blue marlin out there, the floaters, they'll eat a hardtail just like they'll eat a blackfin tuna. And a blackfin tuna will stay down further right. and there's some excuses to use it otherwise. But at the end of the day, I used hardtails. And I would hook them in the back. I really wouldn't even try to rig them that much, you know, go through the whole process of rigging them.
Mm-hmm.
And as it turns out, those baits are small enough. They move fast enough. That marlin comes through there, she'll eat that sucker. You don't have to hardly wait. You know, she's just going to put it in her mouth, and nine times out of ten, she's going to get that hook right in her cheek. You know, and so, I mean, I did that fishing with hardtails because it was just easier to do, you know, and I think that in some ways that might have been a positive thing, you know. When you fish with blackfin tuna, you know, of course they're much rounder. You know, those hardtails are skinnier, you know, and a smaller fish in general. But those blackfin tuna, you know, it's a trick to it. You know, I said last week it was super easy. It's for the most part, it's you know, things a learning curve, you figure it out. But you really got to let them eat that bait for, I mean, some people do 50-second count, you know, almost a minute long. And really what you're trying to do is you want her to get her to run and stop. So anyways, it's a process. It's not something I'd be able to easily do with customers on the boat that never fish for a marlin in their life. And it's just a technique that I found whenever I was fishing blue marlin with customers early on, and it actually turned out to be one of the best ideas that I had.
Right.
Yeah, for that. Now, all the marlin guys, they'll tell me, that's not the right way to do it, man. You know, you got to put a blackfin tuna on. That's how you catch them. But, I mean, it is what it is, man. I did pretty good with my hardtails.
Well, you know, everybody does their own thing. They do it different. That's
yeah.
It's kind of like me with my fishing. And it just, whatever works, you never forget. That's what makes a good fisherman. They remember what doesn't work, and they remember what works and what they were doing when they caught a fish.
And then sure.
Reduplicate it. And
that's right. Just, that's right. Hell, you wrote the book, man. I mean, come on now.
Hey, man, I just went fishing, dude. I did it my way and figured things out, and it was a lot of fun over the years. You know, you get bored with doing the same thing every day. I see guys that, you know, good friends of mine, they have to work every day. You know, they got to make a living. And man, that gets so tiresome to have to go to the same place, look at the same thing, catch the same fish every day. And I was just always not an explorer, but just, I hated going back and doing the same thing every day. I just went and just sought out new things. I guess I wasn't afraid to fail. You know,
sure.
They go, oh, you
sure.
Got to get them. You got to get them. Well, you're eventually going to get them. You fish,
yeah.
You know what you're doing, and you fish hard enough and cover enough water, you're gonna fall into them, or they're going to fall onto you.
Sure.
That's how you catch bigger fish. I mean.
That's right.
You sit on the same school every day expecting to catch something that's really not there. You're catching the same size fish every day. That's you're just a numbers guy. But if you pull off of that and say, hey, man, let's go look for bigger ones and just try new things. And you learn
that's
more.
It.
You know, that's how you learn it all.
And sure.
It's been
absolutely.
It's been a lot of fun over the years. And it just... That's where later, you know, in my older years now and all the things I've done and seen and everything, I'm kind of bored with it, you know, to be honest about it. I mean, if, you know, I go out and I know I can pull up. I mean, I see all these posts all the time. Oh, man, we put in at 7. We had our 6 fish limit in 30 minutes, you know. Well, whoopee. I mean, if you're...
three fish. You knew you were, and everybody's into the limit thing. I don't understand that. They're worried about limits. Got to get you limit. I guess it's peer pressure from other fishermen. Hey, you didn't limit today? What's wrong with you? You know, I never looked at it like that. I didn't care what anybody thought about my fishing abilities or how many I caught or whatever. It's like now, you know, I don't even hardly keep fish, and when I come in and I don't have any fish in the box, you go, hey, you didn't get them. I said, well, no, I didn't kill any. I didn't. Well, why not? I said, because I don't need any fish. Don't want any fish.
Yeah.
Catch and release.
Sure. Sure.
It's just, you know, the more fish you catch, the more people hate you. I've seen that over the years, you know. If you could have a good friend, if you catch more fish than he does every day, he don't like you anymore. I see that a lot in fishing. It's weird how people look at things like that. It blows my mind.
Yeah.
I want everybody to catch them. Everybody go out and have a good time and catch them. I don't care what you're catching. I'm focused on what I'm doing.
Sure. Absolutely.
It'll make a better fisherman out. If you're worried about what everybody else is doing, you're never going to get anywhere. You just got to do your own thing and concentrate on what you're doing and putting your people on fish and not worry about what Joe Blow's doing in the next bay over 5 miles down this way. Hey, do your thing. Fish it out.
That's right. Yeah, absolutely. You know, and that to your point, too, I mean, you know, part of that goes back to your customers, too. And we have been so incredibly lucky to get some of the greatest customers in the world. And if I showed up at the dock one morning, 80% of my customers, and I said, look, guys, you know, I got this theory about this new place I want to go try out. I feel like it's going to be hot. I don't know. Can't guarantee it. We may come back with nothing. They say, let's do it. You know, you don't even got to think, you know, just go, Cap.
Right.
You know, I mean, those kind of customers help a lot, you know, they do. So, and we found some really awesome spots, and we got blanked a few times. I mean, just how it works.
Hey, but, we all have. Hey, I mean, if you're afraid to fail, hey, put it on a trailer, go back home. I mean, that's just.
Go to the fish market and grab some fresh fish for a lot
that's
cheaper.
It.
Yeah, exactly.
Why I always like, you know, Brett Favre. He was like the riverboat gambler, man. He wasn't afraid to lose. He went out and he just let it rip. I mean, you know, no conservatism at all, buddy. I'm going wide open, and this is the way I play the game, and this is how we're either going to win by it or we'll lose by it. And he wasn't afraid to lose.
Sure. Absolutely.
That's life, man. It's
That's
full of
it.
Failure. If you're afraid to fail, don't leave the house.
Oh, man. A good inspirational conversation this morning, man.
We are, you know, red-blooded Americans. We love a winner, man. We don't like to lose.
I hear you.
It's a competitive nature.
It is.
All right, buddy. Well, hey, man, if somebody wants to come fish with you, Jeff, give them some info how they can get a hold of you, brother.
Heck yeah. Give me a call anytime at 979-417-1013 or go to our website, stsladventure.com. You know, so we're doing a lot more tournament fishing, some bill fishing, stuff like that this year. So we're limiting our charters probably more than usual. So give us a call if you got any charter questions or anything and want to go.
You got it, brother. Jeff, have a good Super Sunday, and I'll talk to you next week. Be safe out there, buddy.
Sounds good. Thank you, Mickey.
Thank you, bud. See you, man. All right. That's Captain Jeff Naylor in Freeport. Time for a break. You're listening to The Outdoor Show here at Sports Radio 610. We'll be right back.